Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. I am Jack, and with me is returning champion, the long missing, the prodigal.
If we say the prodigal son, I mean, mm-hmm. Who's our dad?
Jack? Yeah. Good point.
He's back.
Jim, you're back in that comfortable seat right across from me. A big KRFY welcome home.
Thank you. It's good to be here. We have our guest with us, Dr. Foster Klein. Foster, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. He's going to be talking about a talk he's going to be giving this Saturday at the Panda Little Theater at 1 o'clock. But Jack, I know before we talk about where I've been the last 2 weeks, we've got weather.
Weather is...
Boy, do we have weather, folks. I hope you're into your second cup of coffee. Sit down and brace yourself.
I was looking at the weather yesterday, and it was a winter storm warning. It is now a winter storm watch. So it has changed in some way.
A warning?
Yes.
Well, one of the things, Foster, that I just love is the language of mm-hmm. weather. Mm-hmm. And we're no longer warning, mm-hmm. we're watching.
The forecast called for like a 90% chance of heavy snow on Friday. It now calls for a 100% chance of heavy snow tomorrow. We'll start with today, patchy freezing fog and then partly sunny today. High of 30 degrees, currently 23 degrees Fahrenheit. So, you know, gets a little warmer, but it's been much warmer than that. Recently, we've just dropped about 10 degrees.
And we're going to continue. One of the things I do want to say before you get into Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is if you have errands to run, like grocery shopping and getting out and about, mm-hmm. do it today, because we don't know quite sure when we say 100%. And it says, I think it's going to say 3 to 7 inches. Where you're at, it could be 7 inches. And where I'm at, it could be 3. So
yeah,
get your stuff done today.
It is, let's see, the snow is likely to start tonight. The low tonight is 14 degrees Fahrenheit. Partly cloudy, and then the snow, about 60% chance of snow tonight. Tomorrow, it starts for real. Snow could be heavy at times tomorrow. The high is near 31 degrees. South wind around 6 miles an hour, becoming north in the afternoon. 100% chance of precipitation, 3 to 7 inches possible. Snow continues on Friday night. Could be heavy at times, low around 28 degrees. New snow accumulation for Friday night, 4 to 8 inches possible. Snow continues on Saturday, a 90% chance of snow with a high near 36. New accumulation of 2 to 4 inches continuing into Saturday night, and heavy snow again on Sunday, at least an 80% chance of heavy snow on Sunday, new accumulation of 4 to 8 inches again. So, you know, it's coming.
So we're talking about a foot and a half of snow, basically.
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
That's the way to put it.
You know, you got to remember that in days past, that would have been nothing. I mean, seriously. I mean, we have had it so mild here in Sandpoint that a little bit of snow, relatively little, mm-hmm. you know, gets to be like, oh, my God, the snow's coming.
And you're talking about days when there were no snowblowers.
Yeah, that's right.
Where people had to shovel
if
they were going to get out and about. But I think it's always an adventure when the snow falls.
Yeah, it's pretty. Sandpoint's such a pretty little town and lit up the way it's gorgeous.
And at night, if there's a full moon and there's snow on the ground, it's magical.
Yeah.
It's on our way.
Let me say this. Here's the official watch from the National Weather Service.
We're watching.
It includes all of the locations in our broadcast area and extends beyond that to, you know, Wallace, 4th of July Pass, and Lookout Pass. The watch is in effect from Friday morning through Saturday afternoon. Total accumulation from 8 to 18 inches possible.
There's your foot and a half.
There it is. And travel could be very difficult to impossible, depending on how much snow we get.
I like that description.
Jim, you were saying do your errands today. I think that's a very wise idea. Areas of blowing snow could significantly reduce visibility. The hazardous conditions could impact the evening commute as well. monitor their latest forecast for updates on this situation.
Yep.
I had a friend, or a friend sent me a message the other day saying, "Hey, I think I'm going to be in town on Friday night. You want to get a beverage or something?" And I said, "I don't think you are going to be in town on Friday night. But
where's your friend coming from?
Missoula.
Ooh, yeah. Well, if you take Highway 200, you know, if you stay low,
right?
Don't do the passes on the interstate, but stay low.
Yeah,
you could."
I don't know exactly what his travel arrangements are, so maybe he'll be here, maybe he won't.
I'm imagining that all across Sandpoint, in little houses now, there's this conversation, "Damn it, dear, I told you to get the snow tires. Now you gotta get today. Honey, I forgot it." You know,
well, you still have today. You still have today. Speaking of weather, I was in Washington, D.C. for the last 2 weeks, and as always, my sister, what we do foster is the amazing world of technology. She has an Alexa there, and she says it's 11 o'clock her time right now. She says, "Alexa, 88.5 KRFY, and I have seen it. It's this little black canister that sits there, and you have to be careful. You can't just say Alexa, because, you know, if you're in another room, you know, Alexa starts beaming off these lights. But all of a sudden, 88.5 KRFY, and what she does every Thursday when I'm here, sends me the weather forecast. She says, "Good morning to you and Jack. 29 degrees at 9 a.m., high of 39 today, windy and partly sunny, cold spell now, heading into the weekend of highs predicted at 68 on Sunday."
A little different than what we're looking at.
Yeah, so much for your long-ranging forecast geographically. Yeah.
68?
68, 69.
Yeah, I mean, that's late spring.
The daffodils are going to be coming up. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, no, I was there. That's where I was the last 2 weeks. Most of the time I was in bed with the flu. I came down with a nasty crud and was put on antibiotics for 5 days.
Ooh.
But I did scoot down to the mall and got into the Newseum, Newseum.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Before it closed. It closed its doors on December 31st. The major reason why, it's located right behind the National Gallery of Art on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fee to get in. And in a city of free museums,
yeah,
that it was having a tough go. And the building now has been purchased by Johns Hopkins. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure exactly what. And before we went on the air, Foster asked me, what are they going to do with the collections? I don't know if they're going to find a new home for it. I do know that in the short term, they're going to lend out parts of their exhibit to colleges, universities, places that'll be showing. But it was quite impressive.
Hmm.
And yeah.
Well, I'm glad you got to go.
I got out. And then a museum that doesn't get much attention, but boy, the National Portrait Gallery, which is one wing next to the American Museum, the Museum of American Art. And usually people go to National Gallery of Art and get overloaded. But this is another. And I had my picture taken reading The Reader next to a portrait of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Well, we'll see
that.
And
other women on the Supreme Court. And I'm just casually standing there while they're looking official.
Mm-hmm. We'll see that. Probably what, next week? I suppose a lot of people travel over the holidays. They may have a backlog.
I don't know, but how are your holidays, guys? I mean, it's not just about me.
Well, here in Sandpoint, I personally had a great holiday season.
Any shoveling?
A little shoveling, but not too much. We really only had one day, I want to say it was New Year's Day or New Year's Eve or so, where we had some. It was New Year's Eve, I think. We got one day of pretty heavy snow, and then all of a sudden it was raining again like this. But
I mean, I think it's important, you know, you get that snow off before the rain comes,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty easy shoveling, you know. Mm-hmm. You just don't want to wait for the rain.
I shoveled on, today is Thursday, Tuesday, and boy, it weighed a ton. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was only like 2 inches on our driveway. But boy, when I got done with that, I felt it.
Yeah, that was mostly water, I think,
yes,
you were shoveling.
Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely. But, well, it is winter,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sort of looking forward to this weekend. I love when it's You know, when I'm nestled inside, I'm not an outdoor person like skiing or snowshoeing or cross country or that sort of thing. So I like it from the inside with a cup of hot chocolate.
Yeah, it's well, it's certainly going to be pretty. It's going to be scenic.
You
this
bet.
Weekend. Yeah.
How are we all feeling about the new decade?
I'm feeling pretty good about the new decade. I think every decade gets to be actually better. I'm optimistic that mankind keeps getting better. There's a big program on TV. I think it was last night, how humanity's violence is decreasing. I mean, with all the news and everything, you think it's increasing, but that's not true. Humanity's violence is decreasing.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Do you remember much of the article in terms of when you say it was man's violence, what, towards each other, towards the environment, towards...
No, the violence, just the violence toward individuals.
Towards one another.
We watched it last night. I think it was a NOVA program, actually.
No. I had a meeting last night for 4 hours. So, no, I missed it.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, NOVA. But it went back to the caveman days where, you know, every body you see has a cracked skull.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you just don't find people that died naturally practically anywhere.
Yeah, if they weren't battling each other.
And then why did mankind get less violent as time went on? And
instead of eating each other, we could eat animals. Yeah. What the hey?
Yeah. I know I've heard violent crime is like basically an all-time low or decreasing, especially since we've been measuring it in the last few decades. And
well, Jack, you have to remember mystery why. When you consider the massive increase in population, we're talking about per person, even if crime stayed the same statistically in total numbers, it's massively decreased as the population.
Because of the population increase. Well, let's head into the 2020s. I mean, we are now in the first 9 days, and we're still upright.
Yep.
That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Foster, let's talk about Saturday. Let's hope people shovel out by then. You've got a talk coming up at 1 o'clock at the Little Theater at the Panada. Can you give a little overview of that talk?
Oh, can I ever? I mean, I think about... you know, love and logic is something that you have certain skills, tools, and techniques that just change things going on down through the generations. And all of a sudden, you know, it's that parents learn what to say, the actual words in a difficult situation. Like, honey, if you want to act like that, I'm sure you enjoy yourself, but where can you go that I'm not? You know, just little stuff with your hand on the kid's shoulder. You know, how do you handle the fights? How do you handle drug abuse? How do you handle friends that they have that you may not like? Love and Logic's been around for 30 years, translated the book. It's been translated into 8 languages.
Can you give a little bit, Foster, of your background when you're talking about Love and Logic? This is the title of a book you wrote. Can you give a backstory?
Well, I'm a child psychiatrist.
Okay.
I went to school in Seattle for my residency. Had medical school in Colorado, but there were a lot of child books around about how you handle kids, and they had a lot of good ideas that were sort of, in my mind, fluff, like keep the lines of communication open with your adolescent. See, that would be one of the statements. Keep the lines of communication open. And these poor parents are saying, keep the lines of communication open, he won't even talk to me. You know, how do you keep the lines of communication open? So all of a sudden,
put me on speed dial.
Yeah, all of a sudden we realize parents need to know exactly what to say, exactly how to come through. So it's you have the tools, the techniques, and the skills to make it work. You know, I often compare it with what my life would be like if, you know, when I change the oil and increase the old cars. I mean, if I changed the oil on my car, the EPA would be after me, and it would not be a pretty sight.
Okay.
It would probably take me, you know, an hour at least. You take it down to Jiffy Lube, they get it done in 10 minutes because they know what they're doing. And it's exactly the same way with every job. I mean, Jack's sitting over there with the board. He knows what he's doing. Man,
maybe
if I was on that board, If I was on that board, people would have their ears blasted out right now, you know?
But what I'd like to ask you is, I go into a bookstore, you know, like a chain or something, and next to cookbooks, the books on parenting, that section is ginormous. And given your experience, you mentioned 30 years with Love and Logic, do you get a feel for the direction that parenting is going, or do you go back to like Spock, or what do you do?
Well, I think the reason there's so many books out there about that, it just shows most adults want to do such a good job.
Be perfect.
And they're so worried that they're not. And then when the kids have trouble, the first thing the parent thinks is, geez, what am I doing wrong? You know, instead of, in the old days, they'd go up to the kid and they'd put their arm around their kid and give them a little kiss and say, honey, what are you doing wrong right now? You know, in other words, the parents are taking the whole responsibility of how the kid behaves, how the kid does, what's happening on themselves. And the other thing that I think is important is that in the, quote, the old days, parenting was correct because it had to be. So on the farm, for instance, you say, you know, how do you raise your kids? And some parent would say, well, I don't know, but I just know that if the eggs aren't gathered, nobody has breakfast. You know, all of a sudden, the kids had to do their job. They had to contribute to the family. I mean, it was expected that this family is a unit to make our life work. Right now, that, you know, chores may not be primary in a parent's mind. But the fact of the matter is that when you have kids, chores have to be primarily in your mind, because if I was asked, either Jack or Jim or either of you, you know, why you have a high self-concept, neither of you are going to say, well, my wife talks nice to me, or someone talked nice to me when I was a kid. If I said, you know, why do you feel good about yourself? You'd say, well, I did this in radio. I did this in college. You'd be talking about what you accomplished. And I've got to tell you, there's a lot of homes out there that don't give the kids squat to accomplish. You know?
It's sort of curious you mentioned that, Foster, because whenever I get together with my siblings, like I just got together with my sisters, you know, we'll be sitting around the table and I say, you know, Marie, you know, Kathy, I don't ever remember you guys shoveling the walk or mowing the lawn, you know, and, you know, so, we had chores to do, but what were your chores? That sort of thing. Do you find that, when you get together with your family?
Not my family, I'll tell you that. I mean, they got their chores. But, I mean, every parent has to be able to go up to their kid and put their arm around him, give him a little kiss and say, John, I'm trying to figure out why is my life a lot better that you're around? Why is that? See? Well, a lot of kids are, How's your life better? Well, you love me. You know, that's their answer.
Well, you can walk out on clean sidewalks and the grass is not, you know, that's how you can measure my love for the chores that you asked me to do. Did you have chores growing up, Jack?
Sure. Mostly the ones you mentioned. Mow the lawn, shovel the driveway.
I know you had a brother.
I have two younger brothers.
And did they carry their load?
No, not at all. No, I did everything.
Would they say?
I'm the oldest of three, and I know that, certainly once I left the house, then of course there was no, my youngest brother is 11 years younger than me, so he feels like for a long time he was
solo,
and he was doing all of the lawn mowing as my parents got older and lazier, you know. It certainly does feel like you do everything. The shoveling in Minnesota is a serious chore, not like out here. Isn't real.
Foster, did you have siblings?
Yeah, I had one younger brother.
And how did the brother? Did the brother carry his load?
Yeah, he did, pretty much. My parents, of course, Love and Logic wasn't around, but they were very Love and Logic parents and dumped a lot of stuff on the kids.
So what's the relationship, besides both words beginning with L and O, what's the relationship between love and logic?
Well, the relationship is that you have to have both. I mean, nothing messes things up like love handled incorrectly. Okay. I mean, you know, I mean, love has led people to commit suicide, shoot themselves in the head. You know, I'm shooting you because I love you so much.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it's not love. You said love is a funny thing. You know, you can't predict behavior just by saying someone loves someone else. But so the logic side of it is, with kids, is this the type of love that allows the kids to be responsible, respectful, and fun to be around? Those are the three things that we want. We want them to be respectful, responsible, and fun to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a little bit of logic in the way that we handle them.
How do parents pick up that skill set?
Well, some parents are very lucky, and they were born with it, in that that's the way their parents came through.
Okay.
And our gut reactions, every parent has a gut reaction. Well, my gut reaction says right now, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they treat their kid. Gut reactions come from our own childhood. So if we had a pretty happy childhood, we get along well with our parents, it means our gut reactions are pretty much on target. But if we had a difficult childhood, then our gut reactions are probably not on target. Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I may just think I want to do everything different than the way my dad did it, because I hated the way my dad did it. So I'm going to swing the exact opposite direction. See? Mm-hmm. See? My dad never really cared about me, so I'm going to be on top of my kids' life. I'm going to make sure they're doing
okay. Smother them. I'm going to smother them.
Yeah, Love and Logic invented the term helicopter parenting.
Mm-hmm.
That was
mm-hmm.
a Love and Logic term.
Yeah. Mm. Do you think parenting changed? I mean, we talked about this a little bit, that it has changed over time. We talked about, like, growing up on the farm, you know. Do you think parenting was relatively consistent for most of human history, and then all of a sudden, you know, come modern times, maybe the last 100 years or so, it's been undergoing dramatic changes?
Well,
or is that not even something we know?
Well, I don't know if we know for sure, but I know that in the old days, there was a lot of child abuse.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of things that went on between parents and kids, the beatings and so forth, were really spare the rod and spoil the child really heavily. And then we went through a period, now we're in a period of time where things that make sense are considered abusive. So, in other words, if I have a kid in a restaurant and they're acting out, and I park the car where I can see it through the mirror, through the window of the restaurant, mm-hmm. and I say, "Honey, you know, I just realized we'd enjoy this meal more if you weren't here. So you need, you know, and you're upsetting my digestion. You know, the way you kids are acting right now. So why don't you whip out to the car and wait for us there?" Someone's going to walk by that car, Jack. There's two unattended kids in a car, you know, child abuse. So a lot of things that, you know, if a kid's not dressed, I mean, when 20 years ago when we started, oh gosh, 30 years ago when we started Love and Logic, you know, if a kid wasn't dressed for school, they'd have to put their shoes and bow and stuff in a sack and head off to school, you know, and the teacher would be notified that this kid may be coming and not completely dressed, but they're slow in the morning, but from now on they'll be on time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that type of thing could be considered abusive now. You know, you send a kid to school and, you know, their hair isn't combed or something, the other kids are going to make fun of them. See, mm-hmm. and it used to be the parent would say, "Well, I hope so. You know, that would be good. That'd be a good learning experience." But right now, it's a different world. So parents have had a lot of their, quote, power, if you want to call it that, the power of consequences removed to more of an extent.
You've been a child psychologist for 30 years?
Yeah, psychiatrist. Yeah.
Psychiatrist,
yeah.
Okay. Just taking a backward glance, have there been changes in parenting? I mean, you know, from when you started, from your observations, and
parents are much more protective
today.
Much more protective.
In what ways?
Well, just an example that recently came up of all these parents, you know, modifying their kids' SAT records and paying to have them have those records changed so that they could get into college.
So, what that told you that these parents were overprotected.
Oh, massively overprotective.
Okay.
And you know, for instance, I'll give you a for instance. The
sure.
University of Northern Colorado gym, when the kids are going up there to look over the college had to ban the parents from coming with the kids, so because the parents were so over-involved
Interesting.
In what classes the kids were going to, what was being done, that they said, look, if your kids are coming to this school, you're not coming up here with them on get-together day or whatever they call it, the reconnaissance day. It's too much of a pain in the rear to have the parents around.
So how do you move a set of parents from being overprotective in your line of work?
It's not hard because it really, well, let me say there's two types of parents. There's parents that need therapy, which are a rather small group,
mm-hmm.
and another set of parents that simply need to be educated and say, look, this is another possibility of the way it could be handled. Most parents, when they are doing things that they feel helpful to their kid, don't realize it could be crippling their kid's ability to cope. In other words, all coping comes from problem solving. If you want to know, that's the shadow side of coping. Geez, this kid really copes well. Why? Well, because he's been through a lot and solved it, you know? So every time a parent solves a kid's problem, that kid is less able to cope, and so parents just need to kind of get the picture. Most parents I found are loving, caring, and they're educatable. You know, I mean, you occasionally write it to a parent. Well, that's very good for some people, but it's not going to work for me. I don't believe in that stuff. It's not going to work for me. Then you say, well, you know, Robert, you're right. What you need is therapy. Then it'll work for you.
Should we take a music break?
It is. Yeah, it is half past.
It's half past. Mm-hmm. This is going by quickly. We're here with Dr. Foster Klein. He's going to be coming up this Saturday at the Little Theater at the Panada at 1 o'clock. So you'll probably have spent the morning shoveling, and you'll want to come down to the Panada's Little Theater. 1 o'clock. Anything else we should say before we take a music break, Foster?
Oh, it's a really good deal. It's like $15 a person and 20 for two. It's fine for, I mean, it's ideal if parents can come together, but not necessary either.
Who's the audience, parents and children, or?
Adolescents will get something out
okay.
of it. If an adolescent wants to come, that's great.
Okay.
Little kids who are into concrete operations.
Probably not.
No, you don't take them to church to hear a sermon, mm-hmm. you know. You don't show them a political cartoon. They don't think
Leave
that
them at
way.
Home and let them shovel.
Yeah.
How's that for?
Anything a kid can do, a parent shouldn't have to.
There you go. Wow. Let me think about that for a few minutes. We got a song here that was released on this date in 1962. I'm not going to ask where you were, Jack, in 1962. Where were you in 62, Foster?
Well, I was 22 years old. I would have been in medical school.
Med school, and was this?
No, I would have been in college.
Okay, 22. In Colorado?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I was a junior in high school, and this is a song that I remember quite well. Sam Cooke. Boy, if you haven't listened to Sam Cooke lately, you know, put on a CD or however you access your music, he will not disappoint. This song was released on January 9th, 1962. Sam Cooke, Twistin' the Night Away. That was Sam Cooke, Twistin' the Night Away. That song was released on January the 9th, 1962. That would be 58 years ago today.
Well, it just seems like a minute ago.
Tick-tock.
Can you believe
tick-tock.
It?
We're here with Dr. Foster Klein. He's going to be talking about love and logic at the Little Theater at the Panada on Saturday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Foster, we're talking about parenting.
Yeah.
You're a parent.
Yeah.
Did you follow your own advice?
Pretty darn much. In fact, we have kids now who teach love and logic occasionally. Or
your own kids?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. They're all older now, and they don't do it as much as they did when they were younger. We've got, you know, 8 great-grandkids. So
and how are they?
Oh, You know, you want them around. That's the thing, you know, is you have friends that you say, well, come on over. Hey, by the way, leave the kids at home. You know? Or you say, can you bring your kids? You just want to be around their kids. There's some people that have kids that you just want those kids around because they're so much fun. And that's, that's the way
so that's
you want
your eight grandkids.
Honest to God, it sure is. You hope they're around because they're a big help. They're a big
depends
help.
Depends what age, though.
Well, our oldest one is our oldest great grandkid now, I think, is 8.
Okay.
And then they
okay.
sort of go down from there.
Okay.
Let me ask you about this seminar a little bit coming up this Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Little Panda Theater.
Yeah.
Okay. You had mentioned the audience is parents, of course, but adolescents would be welcome.
Yeah.
So it's not just a talk. It's categorized as a seminar. So what does that mean? Like what can we expect?
It means that. You know, everybody handles like you could say presentation, seminar, talk. Those things kind of go together. But I could say that what that means for me is we watch videotape examples mm-hmm. of good parenting and poor parenting on the same situation. Mm-hmm. So you see the videotape, and we have some audio tape of parents interacting with kids and mm-hmm. Parents. Get to ask, I mean, I really want parents to ask specific questions so that they can get specific answers. Because one of the things that I have to do, like when I'm talking here, is to a certain extent generalize. But some parents can say, yeah, but my kid has ADD, and what about this and this and this, you know? So there's always specific questions about specific kids that need specific answers. And so it's a question. It's a give and take. It's looking at videos. It's seeing. It's hearing audios. It's a lot of laughs.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that locks in learning is having fun learning, and mm-hmm. so we try to make these things a laugh and learn session,
not just a lecture. In other words,
no.
Yeah. Lots going on. Question and answer period. Is there. Man, what are you gonna? Well, like you can send the little kids to see the Star Wars movie or something like that, or maybe there's a matinee at the Panada. Who knows?
Let them shovel. Yeah. Let them shovel.
Let them shovel. Yeah.
What I'd like to, you know, when you talk, you know, you've been talking Foster in general terms, but aren't there so many variables? Let's say if it's an only child, or if it's the middle child, or if it's the mother, or if it's the father. The ways in which, you know, my mother used to say, but I raised you all the same,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's four of us, and you would never, ever guess that we're related, that there are variables in there that make parenting sort of, you know, part of it, not all of it, but part of it, you have your fingers crossed.
Well, you know, that's the beautiful thing about the way I might say God handled the universe, and that is no two kids are the same because the genetic mixture of all those alleles and all those twists of the DNA mean that two parents can have very different kids.
Even twins, twins could be totally different.
And the other interesting thing that I have to laugh about these days is with this 23andMe and everybody getting their genome, picked mm-hmm. out, you know, and they send in their genetics. All of a sudden, people are realizing. I mean, they had a whole program on this. It was hilarious. I just found out my dad's not my real dad. I just found out, you know, all of a sudden the playing around that goes on behind the scenes that leads people to have kids that the kids don't know who their parents are. It's amazing. I mean, they had a whole program based on, well, now I found my new brothers, you know.
Yeah.
Most people know who their mothers are. But, you know, you'd be pretty sure your mom. But as far as your dad goes, don't bet on it, kids.
We used to kid my mom about, well, you know, I don't know if I should be saying this on the air, but my older brother, he is so really different than the rest of us. And mm-hmm. and when my mother got to be about 102, 103, I'd look across the table at her and say, Mom, something I need to know. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, does my older brother and I, we share the same father? And she'd get this little twinkle in her eye, and she said, there's very few things in life I'm sure of, but this is one of the things I'm most definitely sure of. Yeah. So
yeah, but she didn't say which way. You know, that's a very, you know, that answer's ambiguous.
I didn't want to pursue it. You know, when she's 100, 203, I want her to have a few of those secrets, I guess.
It was very funny because on the program, apropos to what you're saying here, is one of these kids said, well, in our family, we always said, where did Billy come from? You know, we always felt like he's really different. Turns out he's really different.
Well, Foster, where does that come from? Because growing up, we weren't wondering about that. We're just a family, and we're all together, and we all had our chores to do, and we never, years later, do we go, huh, you know, we are so different. Mm-hmm. I guess as one ages, the differences. Is that true with your three brothers, Jack?
Yes, that is a little bit. There is truth in that. Well, and then again, we also are. I guess as we're mellowing, we're probably getting along together better than when we were teenagers too. At the same time, we're learning similarities about ourselves that we're always there, but never, you know, never mattered before when we were fighting when we were 15 and 12 or whatever.
But well, there's a thing about three kids that the firstborn is the doctor.
Is that you, Jack?
I guess. You'll have to describe what that means. But yeah.
Well, the firstborn is the doctor. I mean, he's the first kid. The parents are on top of that. I mean, because they've never been through it before.
It's all new ground.
They're more controlling, and they're more, you know. So when the first kid is playing outside, you got to make sure they don't, you know, do something like eat an ant. So when the first kid eats an ant, the kid's attacked. I mean, that parent heads for the kid's mouth. Open your mouth. Get it out of there. Yeah. So the kid's attacked on the firstborn. The secondborn eats an ant. The mom runs out. Oh, ish. Spit it out. Oh, ishy. The third kid eats an ant, and the mom says, more protein, you know.
I was the third kid.
So parents generally mellow with each kid. So
there's a learning curve.
Every kid grows up, therefore, we can say, in a different environment, with the first one being the doctor, the second one being the sergeant goes into the army or whatever, and the third one being the talk show host. So that's just the old saying, the doctor, the soldier, and the talk show host.
You know, the thing is that you're absolutely correct. It's a different, because I'm quite sure that your younger brothers learned from watching your parents interact with you, Jack. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's all sorts of things going on there, which makes parenting and being the child such... So interesting. What I think is to get like your children, Foster, on next Thursday and have them talk about you. You know, in other words, the perspective years later, not in the midst of it. Like if you ask a little kid, oh, my parents are the worst in the world. I mean, that sort of thing. But as one passes through time, how one sees those experiences that we've all had.
You know, I mean, I remember some of the things with my kids that, that I've had second thoughts about. For instance, I remember Andy, you know, Andy was just refusing to do didn't want to take his piano lessons or whatever something he was involved in. He didn't want to continue. So I said, oh, well, okay, you know, and because I knew that if I forced it, he'd just be really rebellious and he wouldn't be learning anyway. Now, as an adult, he comes to me, well, why didn't you make me?
There you go.
Why didn't you make me? And you say, make you, you know, grow a neuron, kid. You there is no way of making you do that. So, oh, okay.
Or do you find that some things you might think of like, oh, gosh, when I did this to this child, years later, the child doesn't remember it at all, you know, as an adult. You know, I found that absolutely when I get together with my sisters and brother, they'll say, do you remember when Dad would? And I go, no, I don't. You know, so it's what you might think as a parent might be absolutely impactful on that child's psyche that forever until that child grows up and dies is going to carry that. And boom, you know, resilient. It's water off their back. Mm-hmm. I find that absolutely. Do you find that with your brothers, Jack? You know, that what they remember in terms of what you remember?
I think absolutely that's true. And I think even, I think in a metaphorical sense, nobody has the same parents, even if you have the same parents, nobody has exactly the same parents. Your relationship with them is always different. It's interesting to have these conversations now that we're all at least legally adults, you know, in the eyes of the law, we're grown up now. So, it's funny how these things, come up. There's things where I have no memory of, you know, I don't remember that happening at all. But well, I was there.
I'll never forget one reunion about 20 years ago. My dad passed in early 70s, but this is in the 90s. We're sitting on the front porch of family reunion, the four of us kids with mom, and I said, "Do you remember how we sat around the kitchen table for supper?" You know, and this is something you did all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I went inside the house and I gave to my siblings a sheet of paper and said, "Draw." No two of us were alike. And there were six of us, my mom and dad and the four of us kids, where we sat around the dining room, the kitchen table. I can remember my mom was to my right, my dad was across, Kathy was over. You know, I can remember that, but, you know, which makes me really concerned about, you know, I knew I was right. I knew they were wrong. Yeah. I'm wondering, where were they all these years being around the table?
You know, we see things so differently
and so narrowly
I gotta tell you a really funny but story is that when my wife and I were having some kind of argument in the car, disagreement about something, you know, and she said some things that really hacked me off, and I have to say that anyone would have been hacked off by it. And I realized that sometimes Hermie just didn't realize how irritating she could be when she said certain things. So I said, "Is it okay if we record? You know, we're going to have this discussion. Let's record it." "Oh, Foster, I don't want to record the conversation." "Honey, we need to record it, and then we can figure out where it goes." Okay. So we recorded it. And then afterwards, after the recording, I said, "Well, honey, now you remember when you said such and such." And she said, I didn't say anything like that, Foster." I said, "Yeah, honey, when you said this and this, I didn't say that, Foster." And I said, "Well, let's just listen back to the tape." And then she said, "No, we don't need to listen to the tape. We don't need." And I knew that's because she wanted to hide it. She didn't want me to prove what she had said. So she would say, no, we don't need to use the tape. And then we play it back. And her memory of the conversation was 100% correct. And mine was 100% wrong. And I was the one who was insisting on listening to the tape back. You know, not that my wife, we've been married 60 years. So, we've had a really good marriage. But every marriage has times in the marriage that you're not that happy about.
They have their moments.
Yeah, every marriage has its moments.
Every relationship does. We're here. The hour is winding down with Dr. Foster Klein, Love and Logic, this Saturday at the Panada's Little Theater at 1 o'clock. Anything in closing you want to say?
I just want to say, come and have a good time learning. That's what it's all about, having a good time learning.
Okay. What do we say to people?
Oh, I want to say one thing.
Sure.
I'm not getting a penny out of this. Every bit of money that comes from this $15 seminar goes directly to the Panada.
Great.
And if we're in this little theater and it's snowing and raining very hard, there's going to be there. You know, they've been working on the roof, but it's been temporary fixes on the roof because putting a new roof on that little theater is an expensive proposition because of the way it's designed.
The contour of it.
Yeah. So the Panada, even if you wanted to come, you know, just because you're helping the Panada out, the Panada needs all the help it can get as far as finances are concerned.
Mm. Yeah. And the doors open 1/2 hour before the event. So that's what it says here. You're looking at me, Foster. Well, like, where's he coming up with this?
Panada doesn't hold a bunch of people, so
the Little Theater, 30 minutes before the show. That's at 1 o'clock. I was thinking, you know, that when we talk with actors who are going, we say break a leg. What do we say to what? Get bronchitis, Foster. Get bronchitis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no.
No, go for it.
You might act for it.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet. The next song that I chose was the number one song on this date 50 years ago, and then Jack lets me know he played it last week.
We did.
Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Uh-huh.
And
we discussed that a little bit.
Paul Newman doing his antics on the bike. But so I just thought, let's do another Sam Cooke song. A change is gonna come. That was Sam Cooke. A change is gonna come. And boy, is it ever with this weekend forecast, folks. Snow, snow, and more snow.
Yeah. Snow, 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 snow.
This is January, after all.
Yeah, and it's amazing, Jim. If you look right above you right now, we have a skylight here. Nothing but blue.
And the sun is shining.
Nothing but blue sky and sunshine, and it's all going to change.
Get out
starting
and
tonight.
Do your errands and enjoy it. And let's talk about some upcoming events. And besides Foster Kline in the Little Theater at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, there's going to be a movie in the Little Theater, Honeyland. And the description is, Honeyland is a documentary about the last female bee hunter in Europe who must save her wild bees when a family of nomadic beekeepers invade her land and threaten her livelihood. The film won 3 awards at the 2019 Sundance Film Festival and is North Macedonia's entry for Best International Feature Film at the Academy Awards.
Did you say documentary?
It's a documentary. It's a documentary of a female beekeeper.
It sounds like science fiction or something.
Well,
like that.
And the show times are today, the 9th, at 7 p.m., Friday at 6, Saturday at 7, and Sunday at 4. What you can do is check the Panada website, panada.org, for the times.
Her bee land was invaded by rival beekeepers. Enemy nomadic beekeepers invaded her
and threatened her livelihood.
Wow. Well, who knew that this was going on in Macedonia?
And that they had filmmakers there to record the event. That's the other element. So that is at the Little Theater this weekend. You can go to panada.org to find out all the scoop.
What do you think about like documentarians, they're not supposed to interfere. They're just supposed to document. But wouldn't you? It seems like if you were documenting an honest to goodness, battle between right and wrong, or at least something where someone's livelihood, for example, was threatened. Wouldn't you want to? Step in, say something.
Well, the nature of documentary films, in terms of the boat people crossing the Mediterranean for a new life, there's a purpose behind it. One of the things I think of is the documentary that won last year at the Academy Awards, Free Solo, Alex Honnold climbing El Capitan, and you talk about the impact of filmmakers on the events unfolding. That there was the concern of you have while he's going up the face of that mountain without any external support, there are all around him people filming him swinging on ropes and everything. And they were worried that this might cause a distraction and he'd tumble.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about documentary, we think it's like an eye on events that's detached. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it can impact what's being shown. Also, it can impact in terms of the way the story is told. That I don't think documentary films are necessarily objective.
No, I yeah, I think they, and but, I mean, they really rarely ever.
But this is a good one. This is a good one. It'll be interesting to see if it. They have not come out with the nominations for Academy Awards yet, but it'll be interesting to see if Honeyland makes the list as best documentary film.
Yeah. Did okay. Did you watch Free Solo?
Yes, I did, and let me tell you. I was uncomfortable.
I couldn't. Yeah, I saw the preview for it. I said, well, I'm sure that's very good. I don't think that's a movie I'm going to watch.
Well, what's interesting is they did a brain slice of Alex Honnold. You know, they did an MRI or whatever. Mm-hmm. And those things that make normal people like you and me mm-hmm. look over the edge and go, whoa, and yeah. take a step back. He's got whatever that is in his head that is less than, and he, mm-hmm. oh, let me take another step out and get a better look.
Yeah.
I mean, he is not paralyzed by heights like
yeah.
I know I am.
Uh-huh. I get a little, I mean, it's pretty and all, but I get a little sweaty palmed when we're up too
Free
high.
Free Solo is well worth seeing,
yeah.
But you have to brace yourself for you're going to have some perspectives that are but anyway,
we're
Honeyland
looks good. We're almost out of time. Foster Klein is hosting and operating a seminar at the Little Theater at 1:00 p.m. on Saturday,
and I do want to mention a friend of mine Friday night at the 219 Club, Bright Moments is going to be doing some great jazz, some ska, and some good old-fashioned razzmatazz from 9 until midnight. That's at the 219 on First Avenue here in downtown South Bend. Not South Bend. Why did I say South Bend? I was flashing on.
That you flashed way back there.
I flashed way back. I
yeah.
mean, my gosh, I haven't lived there. In Sandpoint.
Yes.
They both begin with S.
Sure.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay, that's my faux pas for this decade.
Mm-hmm.
I've used it up early, and I'm not going to worry about it. Also, mm-hmm. there's going to be the food truck. The Shilluf Korean barbecue food truck is going to be there. So that is Friday night, Bright Moments Jazz, 219 at 9 o'clock.
That's a cool show to have at the 219 Club, and a little different than what
yep.
they usually have.
I agree.
Okay, lots more going on, of course. We have, the auditions for Northern Stars Rising. We talked about this a little bit on the show last week, but the Pondere Arts Council is presenting their free auditions for the upcoming Northern Stars Rising performance in February. So this is not a show. This is if you're talented and you want to audition to be a musician on stage during Northern Stars Rising in February, you got to go and audition this Saturday. Auditions are held from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Heartwood Center.
And tonight, I'm going to be doing on my folks show at 9 o'clock, I'm going to do a whole hour of Odetta.
Ooh.
So, and I've been carefully working on the playlist, and now I have to just think about what I'm going to say, but a whole hour of Odetta is not to be missed. That's at 9 o'clock on the KRFY Folk Show tonight.
Well, okay. We're fresh out of time, as usual, so stay tuned for Otto's Eclectic Mix right after Bird Note here on 88.5 KRFY Pondere.